WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. It's the 13th of March, 2019. I'm going to get right into it. Some technical difficulties. Bear with me for a second. Here we go. This is called Citizen Insurance Racket. From what I understand, it had an original air date of the 5th of May, 1948. This would be the Green Hornet, which I believe to be the first Green Hornet, one of the first available anyway. Sorry about that, the channels were a little skewed.
The Green Hornet is a copyrighted feature of Fictitious Characters and Events, in which the principal character is Britt Reed, manager of the Sentinel newspaper. Only Kato, his faithful Japanese valet, knows the dual role the young millionaire plays to strike at lawbreakers within the law who cannot be reached through the court. Though innocent of major crimes, the Green Hornet is hunted by everyone. The cry of both police and underworld is, dead or alive, get the Green Hornet. Joe Desmond, boss of one of the wards on the Lower East Side, managed by cash and votes to maintain a strong position in his community. He laughed at all attempts to interfere with his racket and continued to take advantage of the arriving immigrants. As tonight's adventure of the Green Hornet opens, we find Desmond in his office in the rear of the club rooms of the social club from which the ward is controlled.
This is hot. This makes me laugh. Hey, Nelson, get a load of this.
What is it, Desmond?
The Daily Sentinel. The Sentinel wants conditions investigated.
Yeah? Well, I wouldn't laugh too hard if I was you.
Why not?
The boys from the DA's office have been eyeing this place the past few days.
So what? Didn't we put the right boys in office? Let them try and do something about it.
Sure, but just the same. If I was running things, I'd lay low on the citizenship rag until the heat dies out.
Forget it. How about some business?
There's a bird in the club rooms now if you want to talk to him. He's got cash on him, over $100.
You talked to him yet?
Sure, he's fresh from Ellis Island. Wants to make his fortune in America. Wants to become a citizen.
You told him details?
Well, sort of.
Melvin can use some more labor. Send the bohunk in.
How many more can Melvin put on the job?
All he can get. The bigger the payroll, the better. It's one of those city jobs.
I'll call that guy in. His name is Russo. Tony Russo. Talks enough English to get by.
Good.
Hey, you're Russo.
Russo, what's the matter?
Come on in here. We'll get you fixed up.
On your car.
Hello, Tony. My name's Desmond. Just call me Joe.
Hello, Joe.
How do you like America?
Tony, she's like this country. It's a well-defined place. Tony, she's a make a much of one.
That's right, Tony. And we're here to help you fellas. Of course, you want to become a citizen as soon as you can, don't you?
Sure.
Have you found out what's required?
Sure. I got to make a home here a long time.
Well, that's the usual thing. But there are ways to take a shortcut.
What's this?
If you could get $100 together, we could make you a citizen right now. And if you were a citizen, I could put you to work right away.
$100?
$100.
Don't make me a United States of America?
That's right.
I told you all about it, Tony.
Me pay the month.
Good.
These are making me American. Give it to me, the job.
Yeah, but it's got to be kept quiet. You understand? It isn't the regular way of doing it, but it'll be all right.
You got a, what you call a pull, no?
Yeah, I got the pull. You pay your cash, get your papers, and then I'll take you over and get your job right away.
Oh, sure. Thank you. See? Tony, she's in the how. She's all right. I stand straight. I raise the right hand and I say the word, I pledge allegiance to my flag.
You know it all right.
Sure.
But you got to remember one thing.
What's this?
Now, if the other men find that you've been made a citizen before them, they might get sore about it. You got to keep quiet. Don't say anything or you might go to jail. Now, hand over the money. Here's your paper.
The price should come high. I got so little a month.
That's all right. You're going to work right away.
Now, Antonio Russo, she's American, no?
Sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I am so happy. Look, look, I carry the flag. The stars and the stripe.
Good, that's the stuff. Take him out, Nelson. Melvin, put him right to work.
All right, come on, Tony.
Sure thing. I'm so happy. I sing. My country, it is of the sweet land of the sea.
All right, Tony, hold it. Folks don't sing on the street here.
Me? I am very happy.
Now, listen. You wait right here. Don't go away.
Hmm. Where do you go?
I'm going to get a car to take you to your job. Now, don't go away. I'll be back in a minute.
My country, tis of a
day. We want to talk to you.
Sure, sir. What do you want?
We're police officers. We want to ask you a lot of questions about what you did in that place just now. Better come down to headquarters with us.
I got a waiter here. My friend, the shoes will come back.
Talk to him in Italian, Pete, while we take him along. Come on, brother. You're going riding with us.
Hey, wait a minute, sir. Where do we go? I got a job. I got to go to work. Take your hands off of me.
Relax, Tony. Relax. We aren't going to hurt you.
Hey, Gus.
Nelson, those bugs in the DA's office picked up Russo.
They did?
Yeah, just before you drove up. Keep the motor going. Chopper will be right here. Orders from Desmond. He's seen it from the window.
What's up?
Slide over, I'll do the driving.
I'm checking out of this. When Chopper arrives, there's trouble.
Sit still. Here comes Desmond and Chopper now.
But I...
Pile in, Chopper.
What are you doing, Desmond?
Those lugs picked up a witness. As sure as shooting, he'll talk. We gotta stop him.
How?
You'll see. Go on, drive. Chase that car. Get close enough to do some good.
Red light ahead.
Go through.
I told you, Desmond. I warned you.
Shut up, Nelson.
I thought you had that drag in the right places.
They get that guy to the office, he'll talk. And there'll be sentinel reporters there to get it.
Hang on. We're taking his turn fast.
There they are. Go on.
The cops saw us.
Keep going. Chopper, you get ready. Nail him as we go past.
Police question Big Shot and Gangster. Read all about it. Send the Lex Street paper.
Your Sentinel radio commentator. Joe Desmond, notorious ward boss, was released late this afternoon after questioning by police in connection with the brutal slaying of Antonio Russo. Russo was picked up by special investigators to be queried in regard to suspected irregularities. But before arriving at his destination, machine gun bullets took his life. In his pocket was found a newly purchased life insurance policy. Desmond, licensed to handle certain forms of insurance, admitted selling him the policy a short time previous to the shooting, but declared he knew nothing of the murder. Once more, we have had demonstrated the futility of police in combating well-organized crime. In the opinion of this commentator...
That's enough of that. Gator, I thought sure they'd get someplace when they picked up one of the poor devils that Desmond's worked on.
Desmond did the murder then?
It's the old story, Cato. There were witnesses who identified Desmond as one of four men in the murdered car.
Then how did he get free?
He was released, Cato, because he had an alibi for the time of the shooting. So did his partner, Nelson.
Oh.
And they had a lawyer on the job and officials who are in their pay. The witnesses were vague on their identification after Desmond's attorney went after them. By the time the police got around to checking the license number on the murder car, they found it an entirely different car than the one described by the witnesses.
Perhaps you have to work alone, Mr. Britt.
I don't know how even the Green Hornet can get at Desmond and his racket, Cato.
No.
But tomorrow, I'm going to get everything I can in connection with Desmond and Nelson and all the rest of their rotten, grafting gang. If the law can't smash them, the Green Hornet will.
The next morning, Britt Reed's secretary at the phone.
No, Gunnigan, Mr. Reed hasn't come back yet. Jenks is here if you want him. Oh.
What's the city head say, Casey?
Well, he hinted that he didn't want you.
Gunnigan don't know what he wants. Hand him a story on a silver platter and he says it's not enough.
Mr. Reed's been riding Gunnigan pretty hard. He's after information concerning Joe Desmond.
You're telling me. He routed me out of bed last night. Told me to get up and get out and hang around wherever I thought best to pick up things about the rat.
Rat?
Desmond. I tell you, Casey, Reed is on the warpath.
He has been for some time where Desmond was concerned.
Well, I got plenty to tell him.
You really learned things?
Yeah, I got...
Gunnigan said you were here, Jenks.
Yeah. Say, boss, have I got news?
I doubt it, but go on.
Desmond has a racket you didn't know about.
What's that?
He gets immigrants where they still got cash. Makes them think they're getting their citizenship. Tells them if they get it, you get them a job right away. Takes their cash
and gives them what they think is citizenship papers, but which turns out to be nothing but a simple life insurance policy for which they pay an exorbitant rate.
You know about it?
More than that. After they've got their paper, he takes them to Andrew Melvin in charge of city improvements. Melvin puts them to work, puts them on the payroll, and when the need arises, perjures himself to give Desmond an alibi.
Oh, you knew?
Of course I knew. What do you think I'm after Desmond for?
Well, I thought it was because of the graft in his ward.
Ah, it's a mere detail.
And you call yourself a reporter, Jenks.
Lay off.
Get after Melvin. Find out what you can about him. Somewhere in this setup Desmond has built, there must be a weak link. It might be Melvin. Find out.
Okay, boss, I'll try.
Gunnigan, please.
If I can only...
Hello, Gunnigan. Here's what I want. Give me a story on Andrew Melvin. Yeah, that's the man.
Story?
I want to scare him. I want him to think we have a lot of information on him. Leave his name out, but point it so he'll know what we mean. If we can scare him enough, he might back down on that alibi he gave Desmond and Nelson. You get the idea? I thought you would.
Later that same day in Desmond's office.
This confounded sentinel.
What's the matter, Desmond?
Melvin will lose 10 pounds from worry if he sees this.
I wouldn't trust Melvin. He'd run out on us if the heat was turned on.
And maybe you think the sentinel ain't turning on the heat. This won't do, Nelson. Get it? It won't do.
What do you mean?
I have an idea that when Andrew Melvin reads this, he might take his own life.
That night, Britt Reed drove as the Green Hornet.
If Melvin left in the car we just saw leave his house, we'll wait inside, Kate, until he returns. I think the Hornet can make him talk after what the Sentinel published.
I hope so, Mr. Brett.
I'll leave the car here in the alley. You have the master keys and the weapons?
I have them.
Keys.
Yes, sir.
That one won't do. Good. Flashlight, Cato.
Yes, sir, quietly.
Maybe servants. Come along. In here, Cato. We'll be able to watch the front door.
Mr. Bates.
Not so loud.
Go in that corner.
What's the matter?
Here's a flashlight.
I don't see anything.
The chair.
One with the back toward us.
Yes, sir. In the floor.
A foot. Someone's sitting there. Keep back, Cato.
Stick him up.
Cato.
Yes, sir.
It's Melvin. He's been shot through the head.
Dead?
Yeah. That car that drove away as we turned the corner.
The police.
Someone must have heard the shot and called them.
There's a note, Mr. Britt.
I'll take it. We gotta get out. There's a gun on the floor, Cato. Pick it up.
Yes, sir.
This way, quickly.
Lights! Put on the lights! Right!
Hurry and clear the room. Get in that chair.
Probably a suicide.
Lucky I was at headquarters.
Dead, all right.
I gotta call my paper.
Hold on. If it's suicide, where's the gun?
Say, listen to that.
What is it?
The car. It's coming out of the alley. It's the Green Hornet. Let me hit that phone.
The Green Hornet.
This ain't suicide. It's murder. Murder by the Hornet.
Featured Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's The Flight of the Bumblebee as its theme, with a theremin simulating the hornet. This one's called Citizen Insurance Racket. The original air date of the 5th of May, 1938. I believe it to be the first Green Hornet. Thanks for listening. This is Arthur. In the Grand Hour, 91.5 FM, WMFO, and or WMFO.org.
When other means to expose Desmond failed, Britt Reed, as the Green Hornet, attempted to frighten Melvin into confessing his part of the racket, which included, among other things, the murder of a witness for the state. Arriving at Melvin's home, Britt Reed found the man dead. A gun and note pointed to suicide, but Reed knew it was murder and removed the gun and note. Police arrived as the Hornet fled, and the next day's newspapers carried an 8-column banner.
Daily Sentinel! Hornet sought for murder! Dragnet out for Green Hornet!
What else does it say about the Hornet, Desmond?
The cops got there as he drove away.
Didn't they find a suicide note?
No.
The gun?
No. Didn't find a thing except Melvin's body. Don't drive so fast, Nelson. I'm nervous.
Well, what's the odds? Melvin's dead. He won't talk now.
No, but I...
And the Hornet's blamed. That puts us right in the clear.
I hope so. There's just one thing.
What's that?
The Hornet's got the note and gun.
So what? There's no way to connect them to us.
I still don't like it.
Gosh, boss, I never saw you nervous like this.
Well, you see me now.
You always laughed at anything of this sort.
Listen, punk. We had the law to worry about. I didn't worry.
Sure not.
When the DA tried to investigate me, that was a laugh. But now...
Now what?
I don't like it. A Green Hornet don't work like anyone else. He's after something. If he wasn't, what did he take the gun and note for?
Well, what could he be after?
Maybe cash. Maybe power. Maybe he's figuring on taking over the ward. Maybe he's after me. I don't know. But I don't like it.
Now, what about the party? You figure on going ahead with it?
Sure. We sent the bids out. We got to go ahead with it. Our political pals figure on it. We got to make some plans for the next election. The party has to go on. Why shouldn't it?
Well, I just thought maybe you being so nervous and
all. The party's on. The bids all went out yesterday.
Holy macro case. Imagine this. A party.
What?
Desmond is throwing a party in his social club.
Every crook in town will be there.
It's not that sort of a party. It's an important one. Most of the important politicians in that part of town will be on tap.
They will?
Sure. Soup and fish and champagne.
Jenks.
Well?
Tell me something. Desmond's a crook. Everyone knows it.
Not till he's proved one.
All right, but everyone still knows it. Yet they'll accept favors from him. Why?
As far as the record goes, Desmond isn't crooked. We can suspect all we want, but that doesn't make him a crook.
Well, if I knew what I do about him and was invited to a party of his, I'd certainly not go.
Yeah, but Casey, you're not after votes. That's the difference.
I'm glad I'm not. You going?
Wouldn't miss it.
You're not after votes.
I'm after the guys that are after the votes. Besides, I'm curious, and I got hunches.
What?
Look here. Melvin's murdered.
Yes?
Just at a time when he might have squealed and made it hot for Desmond.
Very convenient for Desmond. It...
It what?
Makes me wonder if my own little hunch might not be correct.
What's that?
Jenks, I hate to think that the Green Hornet would kill.
What?
I mean it. I wonder if he did kill or if someone else did it and framed him.
You've a right to your hunch, but as usual, you're all wet.
Have it your way, Jenks.
I'm going to take in Desmond's party, and I'll make a bet with you.
What's that?
Maybe it won't be known, but I'll bet dollars to donuts one of the men will be there as the Green Hornet.
You wouldn't be smart enough to realize it. You could talk to the Green Hornet face to face and never spot him.
Yeah? Well, I just like the chance.
Yes, Mr. Reed? Oh, very well. Mr. Reed wants to see you.
Okay. Yeah, boss?
Oh, Jenks, are you going to this party Desmond is giving?
Sure, I thought I covered it. Any objections?
Cover it, Jenks, but don't go alone.
No?
Take a couple plainclothes men from headquarters.
Think it'll be tough?
I don't know what it'll be. But if anything does happen, I'd like to be sure that some of the people there will be on the level. Get detectives who are just as anxious to get the goods on Desmond as we are.
Okay. Maybe you got hunches, too.
What do you mean?
I had a hunch the Hornet might be there. Maybe he bumped Melvin because Desmond wanted him bumped.
Jenks, I think you have something.
Huh?
That isn't a hunch, it's a theory. Why not publish it?
You mean that?
Credit one of the police with it. Let it be a police theory that the Hornet might be in league with certain political bosses.
Okay.
You can use that for a new lead when information lags on the Melvin murder.
Right. I'll be at Desmond's party with bells and detectives. Here's hoping something happens.
Gosh, what a mob. This company isn't even fit for a couple of flat feet.
Lay off the cracks, Jinx. Remember, we ain't here because we like it. Besides, a reporter ain't such hot company.
Hold it, Flatfoot. Can I give you credit for a theory on the Melvin bumpo?
Yeah, thanks, Jinx. Gee, I wonder where all these rat-faced mugs go in the daytime.
Crawl back in the cracks in the woodwork.
Something I don't know what it is, Nelson.
How'd they get around that the Hornet might be here?
Don't ask me.
I had the feeling all evening something was going to pop.
Jenks of the Sentinel has it, too. See who's with him?
Dix.
Yeah, and they haven't done anything but stand and wait.
I know.
Hey, boss.
Well?
What's the matter with everyone?
What do you mean?
They seem like they was waiting for something.
Yeah. Oh, it's screwy. It's crazy. Come on, let's have a drink.
I don't feel like drinking. I'm going out for some fresh air. My collar's kind of tight.
What time is it now, Jinx?
A little after midnight.
Why?
What's funny?
Maybe I was wrong. I sort of felt something had happened before this.
I wonder if he is here.
Who?
The Green Hornet.
If he is, I'd like to know it. I'd like to get my hands on him. That's what I'd like. Desmond, I checked with the doorman. There's no one here without invitations.
Okay, it was just a fool idea of mine. We checked the list of bids real careful, didn't we?
Sure.
I guess nothing will happen.
I never saw you with a jitters like this.
Dry up.
Listen, boss.
What's the matter with you?
I just come from the back room.
Well, what of it?
I just wondered, did you leave the window open there?
No. I shut it and locked it and had the slide closed over it.
That's what I thought you said.
Why?
It's wide open now.
It is. Who opened it?
I don't know, boss. I went to check up and see if the room was all set for the meeting to discuss the slate of the next election. And seen the window open.
I'll go have a look.
Yeah, you better.
Well, I'm going to have a dance. What the heck? Nothing will happen. What are you so worried about? Hey, Maisie, how about a dance?
I don't feel much like dancing now.
No one feels like doing anything. Blast it. This is the worst party.
Hey, Nelson, the boss wants you.
Me?
Yeah, he just called down. Go to the conference room.
Okay. I'll see you later, Maisie.
Yeah, don't be long.
Now, where are you, boss? Where is he? Window's still open.
This way.
What the?
Take it easy. Raise the hands. Turn slow.
You, that mask.
Not too loud.
The Hornet.
Sure, it's the Hornet.
Desmond. Joe!
Joe, where are you?
I'm taking his place. You're likely to squeal after the cops pick you up.
No, no. What cops?
What cops do you think? Those flat feet out there aren't ever their health. They're here to crack the Melvin murder.
Listen, wait a minute.
Well,
who are you working for?
Who do you think?
Desmond?
They won't get the goods on Desmond. He's too handy at putting those who might squeal out of his way.
Not me. No, not me. I won't squeal.
You bet you won't. Desmond has the rod that killed Melvin.
What'd you take it for? It was all set
for a suicide, I know. Well, the police wouldn't accept a suicide theory. That's where the boss fell down. There was too much reason to suspect murder.
But
that's why I took the rod and the note and the blame for the murder. Now I'm putting myself in the clear. The boss as well. He'll follow up what I do. Plant the gun on you. You can take the murder rap.
Wait. Listen to me, won't you?
You do the listen. Don't worry. Even though you're blamed for the murder, it won't bother you any. You won't know about it.
Well, don't bother me. Wait a minute. Won't you let me talk?
There's 5 shots left in the gun. They'll match the one that was taken from Melvin's body.
Don't kill me. Give me a chance. I won't squeal. I swear I won't squeal.
You'll not get the chance.
Oh, help. Help, it's a Green Hornet.
You take it, rat.
Help, he's got me. The Hornet.
I wouldn't squeal.
Help me.
Where's the Hornet?
That window.
He's gone. Get after me. He was here after all.
Grab Nelson. Help, Jenks. The Hornet.
Take it easy. You're all right. That gas he uses don't kill.
He tried to get me. I don't know why the gas didn't knock me out.
Chase that car. Get the Green Hornet.
What's you for?
Desmond, the double-crosser. He had me put on the spot. He's the one. He's the one that got Andrew Melvin. He had him bumped.
Where is he now? Come on, get this mob out of here. Go on, now get back out of there. Don't look this room over.
No chance getting the Hornet now. I'm going to talk. I'm going to spill everything. Listen, Desmond is a killer.
I get a load of this. There's Desmond in this clothes press.
Knocked out. Killed. Wow.
I ain't dead. Just gas. The Hornet's gas worked on him all right.
Wait. Let me show you. Let me prove he bumped Melvin.
How?
Here. Let me show you. His pocket. There. There's the gun he used.
We'll test it.
Check the bore. You'll find it's the same rod that killed Melvin.
And Desmond did it?
Ain't I telling you? Check the gun. That'll prove it.
And the Green Hornet didn't do it?
Desmond done it. He was the boss of everything. He had Tony Russo bumped off. He ran the insurance racket. Throw that crook in jail. Try to have me bumped, will he? I'll fix him.
Boy, we got a story. Let me get my paper.
Appears at party. Murder attempted. Daily
Central. Yeah, I'll break everything now, Cato.
Are you sure of that, Mr. Britt?
Nelson had to frame Desmond because he was sure that if he didn't put him in jail, Desmond would get him.
Yes, sir.
When he starts talking, he'll involve Nelson. Cato, I think the racket will be smashed before long. I'm expecting a call from headquarters any minute. Yeah, I'll answer it. Yes? Yes, Jinx. Hey, Dad? Good work. Now all you have to do is find the Green Hornet. Okay. Call the office and give the details to a rewrite. Cato? Desmond has started talking.
That is good.
He denies all knowledge of the Hornet, but he must admit enough to send him where he belongs. Hello, let me have the desk.
You call Gunnigan?
Yeah. Hello, Gunnigan? Concerning that headline you hope to use someday. Well, use it. Desmond and his rackets are both finished.
Paper! Desmond confesses to murder! Read all about the Green Hornet! Sentinel, X Street Paper! Green Hornet!
Okay, we're listening to the end of the Citizen Insurance Racket, the Green Hornet, with an original air date of the 5th of May, 1938, which I believe is the first Green Hornet, at least available. I've seen a few different collections. This is the first one indicated. Known for the Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee with a theremin as a hornet. I'm going to go ahead and play through this, fulfill some FCC obligations. I got something else coming up for the second half of the show here. Thanks for listening.
Field and Parrington speaking. The Green Hornet program originates in the studios of WXYZ Detroit and is presented each Tuesday and Thursday at this same hour through the facilities of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Medford. Okay, for the second half of the show, we've got Frontier Gentlemen. This is titled Random Notes. It was episode 13 with an original air date of the 27th of April, 1958, almost 30 years after the Green Hornet that preceded or opened the show. This is Arthur with the Grand Hour, 91.5 FM. Thanks.
It occurs to me that in my reports to the London Times, there are many incidents which I have omitted, things seen and heard during my past 3 months in the American West. Here, then, some random notes.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
These random notes are being written as I journey from Deadwood to Cheyenne, on the Cheyenne and Black Hills stage line. I recall an incident in the Montana Territory town of Helena. A tall gentleman in high hat, black broadcloth frock coat, a dirty shirt with a torn paper collar, and a most singularly unpressed pair of nankeen trousers. He stood outside a saloon with a small case of bottles set before him.
Yes, sir. Yes,
about a dozen men and women were crowded around and a small magic, yellow
no,
dog
say
slumbering.
I, not magic. Pollock's original Mameluke liniment, a sovereign remedy for man and beast. It is confidently recommended to the afflicted as an infallible remedy for the following diseases to wit. Burns, cramps, pains in the joints, sore throat, frosted feet, rheumatism, spinal complaints, lumbago, all sores, cuts, bruises, swelling, sprains, pains in the back or side, headache, cutaneous affections, ague, cake, bites of insects or reptiles, salt rheum, mange, cracked hands, catarrh, dysentery, cholera morbus, and cholera.
What about the heaves, mister?
the heaves, you ask? Ah, and in this bottle, the answer to your question, sir. Pollock syrup of sassafras. A cure, nature's noblest remedy for heaves, consumption, bronchitis, croup or hives, colds, coughs, asthma, hoarseness, difficulty of breathing, purifying the blood, whooping cough, and a dozen ailments too horrible to mention in a public street. To any of you afflicted with any of the diseases I have mentioned, or some that I have not, don't delay. Get your bottle of Pollock's compound of syrup of sassafras, for it is certain to give more relief in a short time than all the sarsaparillas and other compounds the stomach could bear. Ladies and gentlemen, it costs only 25 cents for one bottle, or as an added inducement for your health, Pollock's original Mameluke liniment and a bottle of Pollock's syrup of sassafras, both for the small sum of 40 cents. Think of the dollars and suffering you will save by this miraculous bottle.
I remember the game of baseball that I witnessed between two small Nebraska towns. Suffice to say that the match began at 2 o'clock. By 6 that evening, the score stood 97 to 25, and a gun battle ensued which lasted for 3 days. I shall give a more complete account of that incident at a later date. Then there was the duel, fought between two ladies, rivals for the dubious hand of a swaggering young Lothario named Court Thompson. The entire town turned out for the event. The duelists were Matty Silks and Katie Fulton. They were to fire at 10 paces, and all was in readiness.
Well, sir, if you ask me, my money's on Matty.
Matty?
Ah, sure. Everybody knows Matty Silks. You mean you ain't visited?
No.
Now, I got $10, says she'll blow Katie Fulton's bustle clean out of the county. If, aside from Court Thompson, Matty ain't standing for Katie's bar being on the same street. Oh, there's real bad feeling there.
Which is Court Thompson?
Feller standing next to Matty. Oh, he's a one, he is. You got to excuse me now, mister. I've been selected to count off the step. All right, folks, stand back. Let's get on with this here duel of honor. Matty, Katie, you know the rules. 10 paces, then I count 3 and you start shooting. Now, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready, ladies? 1, 2, 3.
You killed me! I'm shot!
It was Katie Fulton's shot that missed Matty Silks and hit Court Thompson. Some said she'd done it purposely, others argued that it was an accident. At any rate, Matty took the wounded Don Juan home. And as far as I know, their love burgeoned from that moment on. I must find time to send a more detailed report on Matty Silk. She's quite an extraordinary woman. Then I think of an old man, a miner I met in Fort Benton. His name was Shorthorn Tom. On our journey to locate his lost mine, he gave me an insight into Western speech which I have found to be most valuable. He was leading a balky mule along a winding trail, and the air was rather blue with infection.
I ain't really cussing, just sort of airing your lungs. Now you take that mule. I call him a son of a gun. No, that ain't rightly so, because anybody can see he ain't nothing but a son of a mule. But he's a no good son of a gun, because that's the way it goes, see?
Yes, I follow you. Oh, speaking of that, what exactly is son of a gun stew?
Son of a gun stew? Shucks, I'll tell you. That's just about the best thing a man ever put in his inside. It's got brains and sweetbreads. Oh, gotta be a fresh-killed calf. Gotta be. And tongue, liver, lights, heart, kidney. I tell you, mister, that is a something. Better than pooch any day. Yes, sir, when I find this claim, I'm going to get me a new set of teeth, and I'll show you how to make son-of-a-gun stew. So everything in it, except in the hair, horns, and holler. Oh, that's a real grub.
Sounds it. Tell me, what is hardtail?
Oh, just a mule, like this ornery stump-sucking son of a gun.
A hardtail mule.
Correct.
Stump-sucker?
Ain't you never seen a horse getting his teeth against something and sucking wind? That's what a stump-sucker is. No, you don't want nothing to do with a critter like that. No, sir.
I heard the expression riding herd on a woman.
That's courting, riding herds. Oh. Courting. Boy, you stick around old Shorthorn Tom. He'll have you talking as smart as a bunkhouse rat. Hey, you know what a woman is out in these parts?
No, what?
Calico, painted cat, sage hen, cow bunny, long-haired partner, quail, squawk. You know what we call a fella like you, green from the east? Tenderfoot, button, dude, prune picker, pilgrim, soft horn, a greener.
Yes, well, what about you?
Me? A rawhide, coffee cooler, pocket hunter, river sniper. Of course, fellas call me a lot of other things, too. It don't really matter what they call you, though. It's what you are that counts. Now, I take you for a good partner, mister. A real good...
Shorthorn Tom never did find his lost mine. He died up in the Highwood Mountains. I was with him. Then there was a performance of Othello that I witnessed in Kansas, the Frontier Theatrical Players. Othello was a fine, powerful fellow with a broad Texas accent, a cowhand recruited by the wife of a ranch owner. Needless to say, the wife played Desdemona. Unfortunately, Othello had a scant 3 days in which to memorize his part. The resultant scene, I report...
That handkerchief which I love and give to you, I'll give it to Cassio.
No, by my life and soul, send for the man and ask him.
I don't want no sweet talk, honey. I'll take heed of perjury, because you art on thy deathbed.
Aye, but not yet to die.
Yeah. So you confess freely about all that sinning.
For to deny each article
with oath. Cannot remove or choke. Something. That I do grunt. Honey, you all gonna die.
Mercy.
Amen.
And have you mercy too? I never did offend you in my life. Never loved Cassio, but with such general warranty of heaven as I might love. I never gave him token.
Look, I saw you. You know, the handkerchief. Everything.
He found it then. I never gave it him. Send for him hither.
He confessed.
What, my lord?
Well, you know, he been dealing off of the bottle.
He will not say so.
Well, he won't for a fact. Honest Iaga stopped his mouth.
Oh, my fear and turkey. What is he dead?
Had all of his hair been live, my great revenge had stomach for all of them.
Life he is betrayed and I undone.
Outstrump. Weep'st thou for him in my face?
Oh, banish me, my lord, but not kill me.
Down, strumpet.
Kill me tomorrow. Let me live tonight.
No, sir.
But half an hour.
Being done, there is no pause.
But while I say
it
one prayer...
It is too late.
Oh.
You take your hands off me, spoon, Sam, or I'm coming up there and rip the hide.
The player's conclusion had deviated somewhat from Shakespeare's intent, but I found it nonetheless dramatic. I've often wondered whether the Texas Othello continued his thespian career. He could have made a fortune in London. Speaking of fortunes, reminds me of an extraordinary thing that happened in Montana Territory. As soon as we reach the next stage station, I'll jot it down.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. A man sets an elaborate scheme in motion. He plans it so well that it can't be stopped. This proves ironic when the schemer is powerless to prevent the unexpected conclusion becoming really his own victim. Hear John Lund in today's startling CBS radio drama of Suspense. Lund will play the fast-talking promoter who overplays his own hand. It's a story well calculated to keep you in suspense. Today on most of these stations. And now we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
The rocketing coach of the Cheyenne and Black Hills stage line had crossed into Wyoming territory. There seems no end to this incredible land of the American West. As the dark hills to the north and east fall away, the land becomes more rolling. I mention an event in Montana territory that happened to a Chinese gentleman named Lee Chow. He was a well-educated man, scrupulously honest, and ran a general supply store in Helena. During a few days of my visit, I enjoyed several cups of tea and one or two chess games with him. I remember that one afternoon he seemed quite excited. His hand shook as he poured.
This is a momentous day for me, my friend, Kendall.
Oh?
You are the first to know. I am now an owner of a mine.
No.
Yes. Here, let me show you. There. A legal document which gives me possession of the Lucky Hand Placer claim.
Well, is it good?
Good? Oh, my friend Kendall, I have paid for it with my life savings. $40,000. You know that some men have been bringing me their gold dust to keep for them, as in a bank.
Yes, I remember you telling me.
It was their claim which I bought. I took much time, much trade talk, but finally they agreed to sell. And now I am a mine owner. As soon as I have made my fortune, Kendall, I shall return to China and live the remainder of my life in peace and security.
Lee Chow was evidently the last or next to last man in Helena to find out what had happened. I heard it 3 days later from the barber who was shaving it.
Well, man, this is the biggest joke in Helena since old man Hornsby strung up that mule for kicking his wife. You mean you ain't heard?
No, I really haven't.
Well, there's a Chinese gent along the street, Lee Chow.
I know him.
You know he bought himself a mine?
Yes, I know.
You know it's salted?
Salted?
He paid $40,000 for a salted mine. What the boys done was to take him a bag of gold dust every day to hold for them. Lee figures they got a whopper claim. He wants to buy in partners. No, sir, says they. Then when Lee's prime real good, the boys figures how they've done enough work and they're ready to sell out. Lee Chow buys for $40,000. The fellas take that dust and vamoose. Leaving Lee Chow with a deed to a vegetable farm. That's all it's good for. Hold your head still, miss. I don't want to slice you.
Does he know yet?
If he don't, he's the only man in hell and a ain't.
What about the men who sold the claim to him?
Well, last I heard, they was head of the California.
Good morning, my friend, Mr. Kendall.
Good morning, Mr. Lee.
You appear downcast. Is something the matter?
I've just heard some rather bad news. It's about your claim.
Oh?
You've been cheated, Mr. Lee. Oh. There's no gold. The men who sold it to you knew it.
So? But I do not understand. Yesterday, my boys who are work for me, they bring me a sack of dust. Oh, here, see for yourself. It is the same as I have seen before, huh?
Your workers took this out of the claim?
Oh, it is just as it has always been. I do not understand this talk of cheating.
Neither do I, Mr. Lee.
Here, my friend, Ji Ping. He's a very fine miner work for me. Morning, Ji.
Good morning, Lee. Good morning, Arnold, sir.
How do you do, sir?
Oh, my friend here, Mr. Kendall, he is worried about the claim.
He worried? Why?
Well, there is talk of assaulting the mine.
The salt, then, is of gold. Here, from the work of yesterday, an ounce more than the first day.
I do not know from where you hear this bad news, my friend, Mr. Kendall, but if the rest of my life is as unfortunate, I shall indeed be a rich and happy man. Will you take a cup of tea with me? Perhaps a game of...
A day or so later, I left Helena and didn't return for about 3 weeks. Then it was only to spend an hour or so arranging for transportation to Fort Benton. I went to the store of Mr. Lee Chow and found to my surprise that it was closed. I walked to the barber shop and over a hair trimming learned what had happened during my absence.
Lee Chow? Mister, you whisper that name around these parts. Say, ain't I seen you before?
Yes, I came in for a shave a few weeks ago.
Oh, never forget a face.
Well, what about Lee Chow?
Oh, he's gone. China, they say.
What happened?
Well, he sold that claim of his.
Oh. Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Well, maybe you are, but there's a parcel of fellas around here who ain't. You know what that son of a gun did?
What?
Salted his mind.
Ain't that
something? Everybody figuring Lee Chow an honest man, and he salts a mind. It shows you.
How? I mean, I thought the claim had turned out to be good. What do you call it? A bonanza.
That's what everybody thought.
Well?
You know what he was doing? Every day he had one of his coolies bringing a sack of dust. Made sure people saw it. After a while, fellas began figuring that Lee really had struck pay dirt. Couple of them went in to see Lee. He showed them a sack of dust.
Yeah, he showed it to me.
Well, sure he did. And he had one other sack. That's all he had. One he kept in the store, the other he give back to the coolie who bring it in the next day. It ain't nothing to laugh at, mister. You know what he done?
No, I haven't any idea.
Well, he sold that worthless bit of ground for $100,000. Yes, sir, $100,000. Then he skips off to China. Biggest swindle I ever seen in the territory. Fellas who bought it found out the next day. Ain't enough dust in the claim to cover a flea. But it was too late then.
I have thought of the outlaw, Dick Gillis, and the interview I had with him in Virginia City. He had been convicted of holding up a stage and the murder of two men. I only spent 5 minutes with him, but I learned a great deal. We talked in his cell, the marshal sitting outside at his desk, keeping a watchful eye on us. Gillis was quite proud to be the subject of an English newspaperman's report. Perhaps he colored his life for that reason. His language was, to say the least, unusual. And so are some of his thoughts.
I'm 36. 36 years out of a mother's arms I never knew. She went up Salt River when I was born. Savvy? My pa, he were a wicked old so-and-so. He used to beat the tar out of me. I run away from home when I was 10.
Where did you go?
Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado. I've been all over. I've seen more than most men see in 5 lifetimes. Less than I wish I had.
What made you start this, being an outlaw?
Man don't start, mister. Shucks, I was born outlaw. Did my first killing when I was 10. Shot me my pa's horse. That's how come I run away.
And why did you shoot his horse?
Well, I don't know. Because I guess the old varmint cared more for horse flesh than he did for his son. I sure hated that critter. If I hadn't killed the horse, I'd have killed the old man, that's for sure.
How many men have you killed?
Fair fight, 2. No matter telling it now, because I'm going to hang anyway. 7. 7 I killed in hate, for killing's sake.
Do you have a girl?
I got a wife. I ain't seen her for 3 years now. As a kid, too, but I never did go back. I guess it's how they'll manage along. You know, a man like me oughtn't to take up with a wife, nor kids. There's something all fired wrong.
Wrong?
A fella like me. I know I done bad. I know I'm gonna hang. There ain't no one gonna sorrow. Kinda wish that weren't so. What do you think?
I know what you mean.
If I had me a .44, I'd shoot my way out of here. And I'd hit me for the hills and live, you know? Funny how quick a man forgets the smell of grass and sage. I should have been one of them poet fellas. I knew Jack Crawford once. You ever meet up with him?
No.
When you think of hanging, I sure never figured that when I was a kid. Not when you're walking around straight up. You sure don't think of that. I'll tell you something. I got me a feeling inside. Oh, it's twisted. Looped up like it. I'd like to ask you a favor, mister.
What is it?
You write what I'm telling you in that English paper of yours. You say maybe somebody sorrowed when I got my neck broke, huh? Make it up maybe like my wife or my kid heard and they sorrowed.
I will.
Day comes when a man gets to be alone. Ain't nothing more to look at except what's inside. I sure hadn't ought to kill that horse, you know?
These are some of the things that I have seen, heard, during these past 3 months in the American West. In a few days, I will arrive in Cheyenne, Wyoming Territory, where I shall send another report to the London Times.
Frontier Gentlemen, episode 13, Random Notes, bunch of little vignettes there. The original air date, the 27th of April, 1958. Oh. Starring John Daner. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour. Here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. Marco should be up next. Wake up, sleepyhead. We'll see when he arrives. I haven't seen any indications that he